Bobby Bones Show.
Big Three Stories.
Raymundo's got the news here on Wednesday. What you got, Raymundo?
Thousands of LAX and Denver passengers are urged to check for measles. Infected travelers passed through those airports on December 11th. In Montana at Emerald City Casino, three people were killed. Another was injured inside the casino when a person opened fire. The suspect was shot by police. And finally, scientists find jewels have nearly the same addictive qualities as Marlboro cigarettes. There you go. Back to you, Bones.
Coming up, I'll give you the country artist's tour name. See if you can name the artist. Also, we'll start the Bobby Bones Show favorite moments of 2019. Through all of this year, we have dedicated a few moments as our favorite moments, and we'll kind of go through that list. Both of those coming up next.
Get your Bobby Bones on.
The Bobby Bones Show.
The Bobby Bones Show.
I have a lot of the tours that have happened this past year. Some are still going on. I'll give you the tour, see if you can name the artist. Ready?
Okay.
The Very Hot Summer Tour, VHS Tour.
I went to this, Thomas Rhett.
There it is, good. What'd you think about that show?
So good. Thought it was so great. I loved it.
What about Thomas Rhett's live performances is cool?
I mean, he works the crowd really good. He's got horn players. They do little dances. And the show I was at in Nashville, he had surprises. Like Little Big Town came out, so that was awesome. I'm sure each city, it's probably different, but all of his songs are so good. He has like a DJ in between. Russell Dickerson and Dustin Lynch are amazing. It was just good.
All right, name this tour.
Yeah.
The Roadside Bars and Pink Guitars Tour.
Miranda Lambert.
There you go. I haven't seen that. A lot of our friends are on this tour, though. She took out a lot of female artists with her. All right, how about the Chillaxification Tour?
That is Kenny Chesney.
This is interesting because it's Kenny and FGL and it's
not Old Dominion.
Yeah, but the other guy, it's like the pop guy, the island guy.
The other island pop act guy?
It's not Shaggy, but it's the other guy.
What?
Yeah. He has that song Flower in the Gun.
Yeah. Oh, Michael Franti.
Michael Franti.
Oh, wow. Yeah. He's on that tour?
Yeah. Okay, how about the We Back tour?
We Back?
We Back.
Where'd they go? Maybe it's somebody that took a break?
We Back. Maybe
that
somebody with
sense, Amy.
Okay.
Yeah, like...
We Back. Whose tour's called We Back Tour?
But who would talk that way? We Back. We Back. It's not George Strait.
We Back.
We Back. Give me a hint.
Jason Aldean.
Oh. We back in the
speakers, back in black and blasting. He didn't go away. His song is called We Back.
Right, I get it now.
Okay, how about the, I saw this one.
Which Jason Aldean live is great too, but I haven't been to We Back.
The Burning Man tour.
Well, is that like...
Burning Man tour.
Dirks and...
Yeah,
I'm
a little bit scared. Yeah, that one happened. Still a little bit rolling stone. I'm a little bit heaven. Got a couple more. The Friends and Heroes tour. He's going to do a second leg of this too.
Friends and Heroes? Mm-hmm. That's probably like, I don't know, Toby Keith.
It's Blake Shelton.
No. And is Toby Keith on it?
No. But it's like Blake and I think Trace Adkins.
Trace.
And Lauren Elena.
Yeah.
And John Anderson. It's one of those kind of things. Give you one more.
Okay.
Who has the Room to Spare acoustic tour?
Room to Spare acoustic?
Mm-hmm.
John Mayer?
Mm-mm.
I don't know.
Oh, that's interesting.
Room to Spare acoustic. I like hints, but don't say their name. I really
acoustics. Want
a hint.
Acoustic. This guy went and did acoustic tour. He loves to play acoustic.
Okay.
It's like this sometimes.
Oh, Bradley Gilbert.
No.
Oh.
Keep going.
Oh, Tyler Farr.
Almost. Oh. Almost.
Air Church.
Hey, pretty girl. Dude.
Oh, Kim Moore.
There it is. The Room
There's
Despairs.
There's only so many people that talk like this.
You're thinking of Room for Squares is John Mayer. Yeah.
Okay.
Kip's really good live.
Mm-hmm.
He's got some passionate people, too. I think you got I give you a B- for your tour game.
Thank you.
Yeah, not terrible.
Yeah.
Get your Bobby Bones on.
Bobby Bones, y'all.
Let's go.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Favorite moments of 2019.
So we're going to do the first half today, and we spent some time thinking about this.
Yeah.
So much so that I got on FaceTime with you and was like, okay, what are the biggest moments from 2019?
Mm-hmm.
Biggest, most memorable, funniest. There really wasn't a rule with this stuff.
Right.
And we did web hits, listener calls, interviews, things we loved, and we have determined a top 10 list. And so, why don't we start this right now? 90s month. Remember this?
Oh, yeah. It was so good.
It was so fun because we had so many artists that we were just fans of that we got to call and go, we grew up listening to you. Will you come in and play?
Oh, yeah.
For example, here's a clip of Shenandoah playing.
Billy's passed out in a bag of low and knowing he's alive. Old Bobby's got his head hanging over the side. He wandering on at 95. What's the matter with you, man? I thought you said you could drive. Oh, oh.
So that's Church on the Cumberland Road. Joe Diffie came by and played too.
Well, I got my first truck when I was 3. Drove 100,000 miles on my knees, hauling marbles and rocks, and thought twice before I hauled a Barbie doll bed for the girl next door. She tried to pay me with a kiss, and I began pick up man to there. Understand.
John Michael Montgomery came in. Here's this.
Well, I'm down to the Grand Canyon.
This is like Amy's favorite song that she would sing all the way to. And then Jody Messina came. And I remember when Jody Messina started playing, we were like, oh my God, she's still so good.
Yeah, still.
Bobby Bones Show. The latest from Nashville and Hollywood. Morgan number 2's 30 Second Skinny.
Luke Combs said in a recent interview that he tries not to listen to too much country music because he doesn't want to accidentally copy somebody. And when he goes into a writing session, if a riff or melody sounds familiar to anyone, he will scrap it right away. Keith Urban talks about why he recently wrote an original Christmas song.
I wanted to write a song that could kind of just travel everywhere, really, I guess, and be also about the sort of romantic side of particularly Christmas Eve.
Sam Hunt has been added to the lineup for Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve with Ryan Seacrest. The show kicks off 8 p.m. on New Year's Eve. I'm Morgan number 2. That's your skinny.
The Bobby Bones Show.
It's time for the good news.
With Lunchbox.
Tell me something good.
There's a church in Atlanta. They wanted to do something good this Christmas holiday season. They were like, we have this money. What can we do? So they went to Walmart and they surprised 23 families and they paid off $10,000 a layaway.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, I always like it when people go and do the layaway stuff. I guess as a layaway kid, because every Christmas, about September or so, my mom would start putting stuff on layaway and start slowly paying it off. And I'll see some of these guys go into, like, basketball players, baseball players, and just go. I saw one recently who went in and paid $80,000 off layaway.
It was Khalil Mack for the Bears.
Mm. That's right. He went in and did that, and then he bought a bunch of other stuff, too. Anyway, it's not like we can all go pay $80,000, but I do like it when they when they go in and pay off.
Maybe you could just go in and say, hey, like, hey, is there one family that has one thing?
That's interesting.
Like on a smaller level, and we can all make an impact if we do one little thing.
That's interesting. You could go and ask, hey, I don't know. I just feel like it would be an awkward question.
And then can they just, I guess they can. They can just look that up and be like, here's the... And then what? You just show up and you to make your final payment and someone's like, oh, it's already been paid for.
That'd be a good feeling, I bet.
Yeah, maybe you can do that. Just go ask for one.
I don't know.
All right, Lunchbox, thank you. That's what's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Bobby Bones Show.
Bonehead.
Story of the day.
This story comes to us from Uniontown, Pennsylvania. 32-year-old Sunny Ray goes into Walmart and is going to steal a few things. So she's shoplifting, and someone's looking at her like, man, I think she's stealing. So she tries to walk out of the store. Only problem is a shop with a cop event.
Oh, she stole during shop with a cop?
And so the person looking at her was a cop saying, man, that girl's acting suspicious. And so the cops surround her and arrested her.
That's crazy.
You should at least know the community calendar.
You should open your eyeballs and see there are people with badges standing all around you.
Yeah.
Wow, got her.
I'm Lunchbox. That's your Bonehead Story of the Day.
Get your Bobby Bones on.
Bobby Bones, y'all.
Let's go.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Favorite moments of 2019.
Amy, how long have you been married?
13 years.
Wow. In that 13 years, your husband almost never has come on the show.
Right, yeah.
And in 2019, he came into the studio, and I think I kind of suckered him in the room, meaning he was here for something else. And I was like, Ben, come by and just talk with us for a few minutes.
Yeah.
And so the number 8 moment we're going to do is that your husband comes to the studio and is on the air for the first time in years.
Yeah, years.
And was one of our Friday morning conversations.
Yeah.
What did he say after the segment ran? Do you remember?
I think he was just like, okay. I think he thought it went well because the last time he was on maybe was 2006.
Christmas of 2008.
Okay, 2008. And he felt like we tricked him.
Well, we tricked him again. We had to trick him both times to get him in the studio. So Amy's husband, Ben, had not been in the studio in 10 years. In 2019, he stopped by for the first time since Christmas of 2008. And so here he is. He comes in and he sits down for the Friday morning conversation. Amy's husband, Ben. Mm-hmm.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Favorite moments of 2019. Number 8.
It's a very special day on the show today. Clap your hands for Amy's husband, Ben, who's in the studio. Come on.
Woo!
There he is. How long has it been since you've been on this show, Ben?
Since like Christmas of probably 2008, 2009
time frame. Come on, 10 years. Yeah. Happy 10-year anniversary. Come on. Amy's husband is back in the studio. And how uncomfortable from one to pee the bed are you to have to do something like this?
I'm not uncomfortable. I'm just, I'm not necessarily in the trust tree right now, so.
Hey, he's in the trust tree. Come on, everybody. Amy's in the trust tree.
He doesn't feel like this is a safe place.
Why not?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if he knows, because last time you had him on, you tricked him, and that's why he hasn't come back.
No. There's no tricking here. Okay. I think our listeners have questions, mostly about you, Amy, because we kind of hear your side of things all the time, but we never get to have your husband in to kind of tell his side of the story.
Okay.
Hey, Ben, first of all, I wonder how you feel whenever you're portrayed by this show as being Vin Diesel. You know, tough, muscular, you know, like you can beat people up. How do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, I think that's probably who Amy thinks she wishes she'd have married, or maybe she hopes she'd have married
Vin
Diesel.
No, I don't portray you as that. They do, and I try to say, like, stop building him up, because he's going to feel, like, people meet him, and then they're...
Yeah, like, Ray was severely disappointed the first time he met me. He was like, really? Like, and you have hair? Like, what's the deal?
What's it been like having your wife be on the radio and be so public with the really good things and also the struggles? Like, I don't know that other side, so I'm asking you about that. What's that like?
I'm just an extremely private person. So, I mean, even in my family, like, I wouldn't know if my parents were having a struggle because we don't share that stuff. So for us to share our internal struggles with, you know, on the radio for anybody to consume is not necessarily my favorite thing.
How tough was it at first?
It was really tough. Like, I think I put a lot of boundaries on her, and we would definitely butt heads. I'm like, hey, you can't say that, or you can't portray me that way. And I think it's difficult too, being on the spouse side, because you don't have the chance to give your side of the story. You're left with whatever their interpretation of the events were, and you got to roll with it.
Who's your favorite three country music artists?
Top three? I would say probably Corey Morrow, Pat Green, and George Strait.
Wow, heavily Texan influencer.
Country.
No. Heavily, okay.
Ben listens to a lot of Post Malone right now.
Oh, yeah. And one final question. How do you feel when Amy talks about you being Uncle Rico? Like, with like your football shirts? Because she brings it up a lot, and I do not think that's fair.
Just I think
so you
it's
know.
A slam. Like,
I do
just
too.
Because the fact is, I am still on the wall at my high school doesn't make it Uncle Rico. That's a fact.
Right.
It's
I'm
just
with
true.
You.
It's the
I'm
truth.
With you. Ben, thank you so much.
Yeah, man. Thanks.
We'll see you in 2029, all right?
Yep. See you.
All right.
Christmas 2029.
We'll there see he is. Christmas 2029. There he is, everybody.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Favorite moments of 2019.
Let's go.
Bobby Bones Show.
Favorite moments of 2019.
Hey, so this year I got a new dog, which was a big deal. I think that was my most liked Instagram picture of the year.
Oh, I'm sure.
Was me and that. Because that bulldogs, when they're tiny.
So cute.
They are. Yeah, they're really cute. By the way, they don't act really cute.
They look really cute.
They
though.
Look really cute. Yeah. And you know what also I remembered is how difficult puppies are.
Yes.
And again, you look at a puppy and you're like, I'd love to have a puppy.
Well, it'd been a minute since you had a puppy.
Holy moly, man. So a friend reached out and says, hey, we have this dog. And he wasn't super healthy. I knew there was going to be a bunch of surgery that happened with him, which, by the way, he's had 5, I think, already. But I got a dog. My other dog I had for 16 years. When he died, I was like, I don't know if I can ever do this again. It's tough. My last book, I dedicated to my old dog.
Yeah.
At the front of it. So
special.
But I did get a new pup. The number 7 moment is me getting a new dog. And his name is Stanley. And I may talk about it in the clip about why. Do I talk about it in the clip why I named him Stanley? Okay. Well, here you go. Here's the whole thing. At number 7, here is me getting a new dog.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Favorite moments of 2019. Number 7.
So I have a dog. You can see it at Mr. Bobby Bones. And I'd kind of been looking around for a few months. And everybody kept saying, well, the dog's going to come to you. And it kind of did, because I had a friend who was like, you still need a dog? And I was like, yeah. He goes, well, I have one. We have one left. And so if you want it, it's yours. And I was like, because I never really was going in for a bulldog. And it's an English bulldog.
Mm-hmm.
So that was never the idea. But as a kid, I always thought they were the coolest. Like, I wanted a pig or an English bulldog as a kid.
Similar.
And I was like, yeah. And I was like, you know what? You're coming to me. And he said it was the rowdy one left, that nobody really wanted the rowdy one.
Aw.
Because it was, you know, a bit much. And so I was like, all right. So last night, I got the dog. It's up, Mr. Bobby Bill. So we'll see how it goes. I'm sure it'll go great. It's still weird for me. Like, I got it, and I was like, man, this is not my old dog.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I have my old dog for 15 years, and it's not fair. It's just not fair to do, and he's tiny. It's awesome. But, I was just like, I was like, I don't know. Like, my other dog's probably upset at me right now watching from doggy heaven.
No.
Why do you have another dog?
He's happy for
you.
He's
peeing on the carpet up there.
But I have my other dog for 15 years. It's good. We'll see how long it takes to be great. I'm sure it'll be great. But it's definitely a weird thing.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Favorite moments of 2019.
Let's go.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Favorite moments of 2019.
All right, at number six, it's Brooks and Dunn coming by the show for the first time ever. And for years, I begged them both to come in. When they weren't together, I was like, guys, just come in for one show and let me talk to both of you. And they never would. Then they reunited on their own, and then they finally came in. It was a really big deal for me because I'm such a massive fan. Obviously, now they're playing the $1 million show with us, The Raging Idiots, coming up in January, which is so crazy. They said yes. It's all just worked wonderfully. It's a big year that they were together. I went and watched them in Vegas. They did the show with Reba.
So good.
And here we go. Number six moment of our favorite moments of 2019. Brooks and Dunn come by the show. 20 number ones, 17 CMAs, 27 ACMs, and most importantly, one Bobby Bones show appearance.
Yeah.
Here they are from earlier this year. Their first time ever, Brooks and Dunn.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Favorite moments of 2019. Number six.
No. There they are. There's Ronnie and Dunn. There's Kix Brooks. Come on.
You people will clap at anything.
We definitely will, but come on. You guys have a seat. Come on, friends.
How's it going?
You work every day with this many people around?
I'd be
nervous.
We need a big staff.
So I stay nervous.
We're not very good. I'm not very good alone, so I got to have all of them to make me better. Look, this is cool for me. Listen, I know that we've met. I know that, when did we see each other last? At the
Kennedy Center in
D.C. Yeah. D.C., you know, near our nation's capital.
Yeah, and so, but this is, you guys have never been on my show. And this is pretty cool for me. I'm being honest with you.
It is pretty cool for us.
Yeah, Brooks and Dunn are here. Kix, you and I met, I don't know if you remember, but the first and second time I played the opera, you were playing. And I went into your room, and you were very nice to me.
That was you?
That was me. I used to get on the radio and beg you guys to come in.
We should listen to the radio, man.
Kix, I would call your radio station and be like, hey, can Kix come over? And they would be like, no. And I was like, I don't care if we work for somebody
nobody
else.
Nobody ever told me anything. I know.
Okay, so you guys got together like 31 years ago. I looked it up, like exactly 31 years ago.
Holy cow.
So you get put together, right? Like, suggested that you guys should meet each other, right? So who makes that suggestion, and what's the first impression you guys have of each other when you meet?
Well, Tim Dubois called us both up.
He was starting the label Arista at the time, Nashville, with Clive Davis.
He'd already signed Alan Jackson, so he didn't want another boy singer. He was trying to get one of everything.
Yeah.
And he'd signed Diamond Rio. He'd signed Pam Tillis was his girl.
Total formula.
Yeah. And the Judds were breaking up, so he was determined to get a duo.
He needed a new duo.
Exactly. And so, you know, he just said... We literally met at lunch over a bad enchilada, and he pretty more or less offered us a record deal if it worked out, if we could work together.
He didn't really say that. He said, go away and write some songs, and we did.
Whenever Boot Scoot and Boogie happens, and the dance blows up, and everybody's... You know what? I actually learned a two-step to Boot Scoot and Boogie. Like, a big part of my life was being in Arkansas, and... This girl named Carrie Carter had the biggest crush on. I was like, I'm going to teach you how to two-step. And Electric Slide, by the way. Both of them I learned to Boot Scoot and Boogie, the same song. And so when the Boonscoon Boogie starts to be a thing, did you guys come up with that dance? Did you guys know it was going to be a thing? Like, how does that whole thing happen?
I wrote in Oklahoma. We played a big club there called Tulsa City Limits. And we'd sneak into the set late at night. But they were doing those dances. And, you know, the dance, all the line dancing and all that stuff was already up and going, you know, strong in Oklahoma, Texas. But down there, if you play a song or play in any of the clubs and they don't dance, then, you're out. So we had to write songs that kept people moving.
Yeah, you had to write.
In turn, sold beer.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
So.
You ever do the thing where you yell the wrong city?
I think the worst mistake I ever made that way was we played the basketball coliseum at Michigan State. And I was really disoriented walking to the stage. And I'm going, what town is this, though? I know we're at Michigan State. But anyway, I see their logo going to the stage. And I went, okay, I got this. So you want to scream something when you go out there. You know, I walked out there and I go, how about you, Trojans? It's just like, boo! I'm like, I know, I saw it was on the wall. You know, I went, oh, I'm Spartans. You know what I mean? Spartans are like, boo! You know, no, you're not coming back, dude. It's like halfway through the show, they start to come.
You don't
clap
really
and smile again. Yeah.
That's funny. Come on.
So we started typing. We duct tape.
You wrote the city on the ground, right?
Yeah. I swore I'd never have to do that, but
I'm appreciative of both of you guys, like individually, because until DC, I hadn't seen you guys together ever. But I appreciate you guys being cool to me, and yeah, thanks, guys.
Cool, man.
Well, thanks for doing this.
Thanks, no kidding.
Appreciate it. Let's go.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Favorite moments of 2019.
Tomorrow we'll go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Today, though, 90s month, was at number 10. Dan and Shay coming in and singing a Raging Idiots parody was at number 9. Amy's husband in the studio for the first time in years, like 10 years.
Long time.
Was at number 8. I Got a New Dog at 7. And Brooks and Dunn come together, and they come on our show for the first time at number 6. Tomorrow, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And I'll tell you this, one of the performances or one of the clips is Garth Brooks in studio. It has to be.
Has to be.
Every year, Garth does something on our show that's pretty awesome. So we'll do that tomorrow, same time.
Get your Bobby Bones on.
Bobby Bones, y'all.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Here's Amy's pile of stories.
So I have the most downloaded apps this decade, and I want to see how many of them you have, Bobby.
This decade?
Yeah.
How many you have over there?
I've got the top 5.
Okay. Is it all Facebook?
They're all owned by Facebook, which is crazy.
Dang, they got us.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Facebook knows all of us. Number 5.
Okay, Snapchat.
Is that owned by Facebook?
Oh, sorry, the top 4 are owned by Facebook.
Okay, so number 5 is Snapchat. Mm-hmm. And I'm on Snapchat a little bit, but not that much. Number 4.
Instagram.
Yeah, obviously. 3.
WhatsApp.
Okay, so this must be international then.
Uh-huh, I use it to talk to Haiti people.
WhatsApp is the biggest international.
Mm-hmm. Really?
It's like, I would compare it to soccer. Big everywhere else. America's like, who cares? Mm. WhatsApp, big everywhere else. America's like, who cares? So WhatsApp's where?
Number 3.
Okay, number 2?
Facebook Messenger.
Which is weird because that's just the part where you message people.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be its own app. I mean, it should, but it shouldn't count as a different thing.
But it is, and it's at number 2.
And then number 1?
Facebook.
Well, then are there any other ones on the list? Like 6 through 10?
Yeah.
6.
Skype.
Huh. 7.
TikTok.
Now there we're talking. Is. Now I'm here. 8.
The UC Browser, which is apparently a very popular web browser in Asia.
Okay, 9.
YouTube.
Oh, wow, TikTok over YouTube.
Yeah, that's low.
Perhaps. And 10?
Twitter.
Oh, there you go. Well, I mean, listen, I'm pretty much dialed into all that, except I especially love UC Babla.
Yeah,
UC Browser.
Whatever that is, yeah. What else you got over there?
So I have an update from an earlier story when we were talking about how all Mariah Carey wanted for Christmas was her song, All I Want for Christmas, to hit the charts at number 1, and it finally did it.
I saw that.
It hit the top spot on Billboard's Hot 100, and it's really awesome. Came out in 1994. It was never a number 1 until now.
I heard that she made like $60 million from this song in royalties. And I don't even know that she wrote this song. Did she?
Yeah, she did. Yep. With
maybe
her
she wrote
and
it with
some other guy.
With other writers did.
And her and one other guy. And I think they wrote it in less than 15 minutes.
Huh. Yeah, I saw the story. She made $60 million from just this song. Crazy. What else?
Okay. Your favorite kind of cereal?
Favorite kind of cereal? Cinnamon Toast Crunch? O's? What do you mean?
Not Lucky Charms?
I like Lucky Charms. No, but I have a Lucky Charms metaphor. Like, I treat my life like I eat my Lucky Charms.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay.
Eat all your oats first and have all your marshmallows at the end and then have them all at the same time. And you're just like, wow, this is amazing. Life, do all your work first and then you have your split. then have your fun, your vacation, your fun time.
Well, I don't know how you're going to split up and enjoy these Lucky Charms cookies, but Pillsbury has created a new ready-to-bake sugar cookie with Lucky Charms marshmallows in the dough.
Come on.
I know.
Sounds healthy. They have a keto version of that?
They do not. Yeah. But that is what we have to look forward to in 2020. They will hit grocery stores nationwide in January.
All right, there you go.
Yep, I'm Amy. That's my pile.
That was Amy's pile of stories.
It's time for the good news.
With Amy.
Tell me something good.
So there's this guy, he was just on his way home from a doctor's appointment, driving along, and then he noticed something in the middle of the road, like where the yellow lines are, and he was like, huh, what's that? Thought it was debris, so he thought, well, I'm going to pick it up just to see, get it out of the way. It turned out to be a bag of cash, $10,000 to be exact.
In the middle of the road?
In the middle of the road. He said he was freaking out. He's never had that much money in his life, so he thought about keeping it.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it right now.
Yes.
Yeah, Christmas time.
But once
it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Mm-hmm. But once he saw a name, like, in the bag, he knew in good conscience and good faith he could not keep it. So he called the Augusta police, reported the missing money, and someone had actually called reporting it missing. So they were able to get their $10,000 back.
Dang. You know, if you're calling to report $10,000 in cash missing, you probably ain't getting it back.
Yeah, and someone had put it on the, they were taking it somewhere, and they put it on the bumper of their car, and then it fell off.
How do you let that not out of your eyeballs?
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
I'd put that in my garter belt.
Anyway.
Your girdle.
Yeah.
They're super thankful that, you know, the money was returned.
All right, there you go. That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Folks, it's your buddy and mine,
Mr. Bobby Bones.
Let's go. Transmitting across America.
This is the Bobby Bones Show.
That's right.
Now, here he is.
Turn it up.
Come on, Bobby.
All right, let's go over to Amy. Only a couple Christmas jokes left.
Yep.
Let's do a Christmas morning corny.
The morning corny.
What do you call a kid who doesn't believe in Santa?
What do you call a kid who doesn't believe in Santa?
A rebel without a clause.
That's pretty funny. There it is. And wrong.
That was the morning corny.
Yeah, and wrong.
Yeah.
And wrong. Thank you guys for hanging out with us.
The Morning Show's official YouTube channel. Go to YouTube, search Bobby Bones Show, and subscribe today.
Bobby Bones.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Go talk to Brandon in North Carolina, who's on the phone right now. Brandon, what's happening?
Good morning, studio.
Morning.
Morning. Hey, so I just wanted to get you guys' thoughts and opinions, I guess, on a situation that occurred the day before Thanksgiving. My wife and I, we have three boys. We had family coming into town, and my youngest, I wanted to get the sides of his hair cleaned up a little bit. So I just took him down the street to a place to get his hair cut. And at first, I put him in a booster seat, but I saw him kind of moving a little bit. I ended up putting him in my lap, and he was crying, and he was kind of just doing a little fit, what a two-year-old would do. But it took the young lady who was doing his hair maybe a matter of 5 minutes. All he got was the sides of his hair cut. And there's a sign at the place that says children's haircut, $12. So at the end of the haircut, I was cleaning up my son, getting all my hands, my hands and stuff cleaned up as well. And she says, that'll be $20. And I said, well, there's a sign right there that says $12. And she says, well, I think you can understand what I just had to deal with because he was crying. And I said, well, I held him the whole time. He only got the size of his haircut. So I got charged an additional $8 because my son was crying. And I just wanted to see what you guys thought about that.
Okay. Amy,
You
go first.
Gosh, that's so hard. I don't think that she can upcharge for crying unless that's on the sign. Like when I go get stuff done to my hair, there's a different price for everything. Like you can get a wash, a blowout, highlights. Like if you're cutting kids' hair, I guess you need to add that on there. Like I'll cut your kids' hair for $12, but if they cry, it's going to be, you know, $20.
So what's your advice to him?
I probably would pay it, but it would not be right. I'd pay it and just be like, oh, that's a bummer. But it's not right for them to charge you extra for that. As the parent, I would probably hope they charge me the $12 and then I would recognize my kid was crying. And even though I was helping, I would tip more if I could. So I would handle it. I would hope I could handle it that way. What about you?
Well, I think that you just don't go back. I think you take it as a loss.
Yeah.
You paid the $8. You did, right, Brandon?
Yes, sir. That's exactly what I did. I just handed her the $20. I told the screener, actually. I try to avoid conflict as much as I can. And I try to take you guys' advice as much as I can as well and tip more when I can. And usually when I take my boys to get their haircuts, I try to tip as much as I possibly can. But I just handed her the $20 and walked out, but I didn't think it was fair.
Well, it's an unfortunate situation all around. You know, maybe she was having a bad day. You know, wish your kid didn't cry. It's not your kid's fault. It's not anybody's fault. It's a weird thing for her to upcharge $8 without saying something about it while it's happening or before. But the best way to make a business know that you're not happy isn't by going, I'm not happy. It's by just not going anymore. So you pay the $8 and now you know next time not to go back to that place. That's what I would say. So I think what you did was the right thing to do, because what are you going to do? Fight in the thing? You can go, I'm not paying you $8. But by the time you ended up tipping anyway, that's probably going to be $4, $3 or $4. And then it's just not worth it. Brandon, you made the right call by just paying the $20 and getting out. I just don't know if you were treated unfairly that I would go back.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm not going to go back.
There we have it.
Okay, but yeah, you're not wrong for thinking that it's weird she did that.
Right. Especially weird. Not when you've... Because the first thing that she's supposed to do whenever this starts to happen is go, hey, if she's going to charge you, is to go, hey, listen, we charge a little more if a kid's loud because it bothers everybody here. We have a rule. And then you state that rule. Because the worst thing to do is hit somebody with an expense they're not prepared for.
Right.
Or not wanting to pay.
And then you've already had the service done, so there's nothing you can do to change it.
So here's where we kind of fall on this, Brandon. You did the right thing. No reason to raise a stink. You gave her the $20. You're only out $4 or $5 anyway after the tip. And you just don't go back. Or to her. You can even go back to that same place. But, you know, you can go back. You maybe don't go back to her. Because in a salon, unless she's the owner, people are renting chairs. They pay money to get a chair. So going to someone else in that salon actually doesn't help her.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much. I appreciate your time.
All right. Thanks, man. How's it? The kids good? Was Thanksgiving good? I know we're getting closer to Christmas now, but was Thanksgiving good?
Thanksgiving was great. We had my father-in-law in town. My wife hadn't seen him in a really long time. So we got to spend some much needed time with him over the Thanksgiving break. And Thanksgiving was great. Boys are great. Haircuts look good.
That's what I was going to ask. How the haircuts look. See? Okay. Hey, Brandon, good to talk to you, bud. Talk to you soon, hopefully.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Bobby Bones, yo. The Bobby Bones Show. Hey, coming up, this guy named Mark Martel. He did the singing for the Bohemian Rhapsody movie. So he sang as Freddie Mercury, as the guy did the acting as Freddie Mercury. Eddie saw him at a Christmas show. He's going to come in and actually play Bohemian Rhapsody and a Christmas song, I think. So he's in next here on the Bobby Bones Show.
Hey. Bobby Bones. Check.
Bobby Bones Show.
All right, in the studio with us right now, Mark Martel. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. It's interesting how you got here. One... I saw Bohemian Rhapsody and thought he was singing.
Rami.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't know it was you.
Well, he worked real hard. I mean, we got to hang out in London in pre-production, and man, he was so, like, every day he was meeting with, like, movement coaches, voice coaches, dialect coaches. Like, he was full time in.
Mark's here, and he was you were the guy that sang the Freddie Mercury versions on that movie. That's wild.
I was one of the voices of Freddie Mercury. Yes.
So where did this Freddie Mercury thing start for you? Were you just a singer that kind of sounded similar, so you started covering Freddie Mercury songs, or how'd that happen?
I was in a Christian rock band for like 13 years, and pretty much when we started back in 2001, I immediately started getting like people coming up to me after every single show singing my own music, saying, you know who you sound like. And I thought it was just going to be like a fun Franklin Lane's karaoke thing, and amount to not much more than that. But in 2011, Roger Taylor, the drummer of Queen, decided he was going to start his own official tribute band. And I got wind of it through a friend of mine here in town. And I thought, why not? You know, and I auditioned for it. And the audition went like viral. And ever since then, I've been kind of performing Queen.
That's crazy. that you were just singing and people were like, oh, you sound like Freddie Mercury. And then you kind of turned that into here, which is obviously the biggest moment of your life right here.
Right. I didn't even grow up. This is the pinnacle, man. I didn't grow up listening to Queen or anything like that. It was just through the comparison that I got into Queen eventually when enough people told me, like, you know who you sound like. But obviously now I'm a huge fan.
At Mark Martell on Instagram. So you go and do you audition for the movie then too?
Well, since I've had the relationship with Queen for like 8 years now, actually really early on, Queen's manager Jim Beach said, you know, we're in talks for this movie we're going to make about Freddie and the band, and in case we ever need some vocal work, we'd love to, you know, give you a call, you know, whenever that gets green lighted. And I thought, well, that sounds really cool, but if I know anything about movies like this, like, they're kind of like passion projects, and I knew that it probably was going to be a few years, and sure enough it was. But in 2016 I finally got the call, like, yeah, we got the actor, we got the director, the script, and we're ready to go, and we'd love for you to be involved.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so whenever he sees you the first time, Roger Taylor, the Queen drummer, does he say, hey, sing something for me right away? How does that work? Does he do that?
Well, he knows better not to do that. That's like the worst thing you can do for a singer. Is like, hey, monkey, dance. The first time that I sang for him, just to watch his face, it's really strange. It's really weird, and I don't know anyone else who, like, has this in their life where when they sing, it's like reminding someone of their very best friend. It's an awesome yet awkward situation, and it's happened many times. Obviously, he loved Freddie a lot, and just to watch him kind of tear up just from hearing my voice is a very bizarre experience.
What'd you sing to him the first time?
The first time was in the last round of auditions for the tribute band, and I did Crazy Little Thing Called Love and a song called One Vision.
And he thought, if he closed his eyes, I wonder if he felt like he was hearing Freddie again.
He's actually said those words multiple times.
Dang.
Yeah.
Can you do a little Somebody to Love, just a cappella, just a little bit? Like,
yeah.
Without, do you need any sort of, that's what I was going to ask.
Each morning I get up, I die a little. Can barely stand on my feet. Take a look in the mirror and cry. Lord, what you doing to me?
That's crazy.
What on earth?
And Eddie saw you perform at a Christmas show. You live in Nashville?
Yeah.
And so, Eddie, where did you see him perform?
I saw you singing with Amy Grant.
Oh, you're the one who saw me.
I did, yes. And as soon as you started singing, because you didn't sing a Queen song at first.
There's no Queen song that night.
And I was like, he sounds just like Freddie Mercury. It's crazy.
You did?
And then it finally was revealed that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't escape it, so I've really embraced it. It's been a wild ride.
Did you make some good money off that movie, off singing on the movie?
I was paid well.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not like one where you're like, 10 years from now, you're like, they gave me $7.
Honestly, just being a part of that movie was worth its weight in gold. But, you know, I had a feeling it was going to do really well, just because I know firsthand just how beloved the band is all over the world because I tour the music. And sure enough.
Holy crap. Well, okay, Mark Martell is here. And I want to come back in a second and do a Queen song, but it's almost Christmas time.
Yeah.
And Eddie said he saw you doing it at a Christmas show. Can you play us a Christmas song?
I sure can.
All right. Mark Martell is here. He did the singing in Bohemian Rhapsody. And what are you going to play for? Hey, Mike, can you turn his guitar up? I don't hear his guitar. All right. What are you going to play for us?
I'm going to play what was recently voted the most annoying Christmas song in England. and it's called All I Want for Christmas Is You.
All right. Yeah. So because of licensing rules, we can't play anything with music on this iHeartRadio channel or podcast anymore. But you can go to bobbybones.com to see it. We hate that we had to take it down. It wasn't our decision, but just wanted to keep you up, and we wanted to keep up as much as possible. So go to bobbybones.com to watch or hear whatever you're missing right now, and thank you for listening to the show, and sorry about all the legal stuff.
Come on! Yeah.
Mark Martell is here. So you have a Christmas record out right now?
I do.
The Christmas Collection. That's the record that's out right now?
I've been recording Christmas music for the last 3 years straight.
basically because my wife loves Christmas music so much. And so I've been living in Christmas for 3 years straight, which means I never got a break from it. But this year we decided to put all those songs on one album, and it's called The Christmas Collection. It's 21 tracks of y'all's favorites.
All right, at Mark Martell on Instagram. We're going to come back, and he's going to do Bohemian Rhapsody from Queen. He's got a keyboard set up. All right, we'll be back with Mark Martell next.
This is the Bobby Bones Show. Yes, Bobby Bones.
All right, Mark Martell is in studio with us at MarcMartell, at Mark Martell. Hey, what was your Christian rock band called?
We were called Down Here.
And how'd that go?
You know, we made a pretty good run of it for 13 years, like longer than we probably should have for a band of our amount of success. So yeah, I have no complaints. It was a great time.
And so you live in Nashville, and how are you making money now? What's your career? I know you're playing music. Are you touring? Are you?
Yeah, I've literally been all over the world this year. It's been pretty much 100% Queen just because of the movie this year. Yeah, I like to mix it up with my own stuff. Hopefully making room for that next year, just when things kind of settle down a little bit. Smarter, not harder. But yeah, the Queen thing is keeping me really busy.
And what the Queen thing is, if you're just turning us on, is that he actually sang. He was one of the Freddie Mercury. How many songs did you do on the movie? Did you do all of them?
I wish
them?
I could tell you.
Oh,
I
you
wish
can't?
I could tell you. Yeah, I can't.
It's like a secret?
The NDA is pretty ironclad.
What does that mean? Like, you can't say which one they have. Did somebody else sing some of them too? Or you can say nothing?
Well, yeah. The line they gave me that I could say.
Yeah, what's the line?
Is that I am one of the voices of Freddie Mercury in the movie.
Interesting.
Yeah. But I'm not aware of any other singers.
God, that's all I needed to hear. I'm not aware of any other either.
Wink, wink.
So when you hear, the song on Bohemian Rhapsody, the movie, when he sings the song, is that you? Can you say that?
I can't say that.
But it probably is. If I'm making my own objective opinion.
If you can't tell, then that I would say mission accomplished.
Okay. Yeah. So Mark's here. He's sang in the Bohemian Rhapsody movie as Freddie Mercury. And so, do you play Bohemian Rhapsody all the time, everywhere? You have to now, right?
Oh, yeah. You can't do a show without
it. You ever go into a karaoke place and get up and crush some Queen, and people are like, what is happening?
You would think that that's a cool idea. And it was fun, like, before Queen was a part of my life, just to do for fun. Like I said, literally at the Franklin Lane's bowling alley. Now it's like karaoke is for lay people, I think. You know, I think that's why it was created, for people who don't get on stage, and it's like their time to have fun and be in the spotlight. So whenever I get on karaoke, which I don't really do anymore, it's like, without fail, the owner of the institution will come along, hey, I'll keep buying you drinks if you keep doing songs. And it's like, then it becomes about me and not about just the fun of karaoke anymore. Yeah, it's fun to see people's faces, I guess.
I'm ready. In Nashville, we'll go one night, because I get told that I sound a lot like Tupac. So I'll do Tupac, and you'll do Freddie Mercury.
I think they did a duet once, so we
can
do that.
Yeah, but you'll
song.
Go first, and then we'll see how that goes. Mark Martell is here. He's setting the keys, and here he is. Let's do Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah, this is going to be like a Bohemian Rhapsody Killer Queen sandwich, because that middle part, ain't nobody got time for that.
I agree with that. Let's hit it. Hey guys, so because of licensing rules, we can't play anything with music on this iHeartRadio channel or podcast anymore, but you can go to bobbybones.com to see it. We hate that we had to take it down. It wasn't our decision, but just wanted to keep you up, and we wanted to keep up as much as possible. So go to bobbybones.com to watch or hear whatever you're missing right now, and thank you for listening to the show, and sorry about all the legal stuff. Come on, man.
Yeah.
That was awesome, Mark.
Wow.
That was awesome. I just sat back, laid back, and took it in. That was awesome, man.
I enjoyed watching you enjoy it.
Rarely do I ever just enjoy something. I laid back. That was great, man. Mark Martell is here. If you saw Bohemian Rhapsody, you heard Mark singing for sure. The Christmas album is out, and so people can check that out.
It's Please do.
The Christmas Collection, Mark Martell, MarcMartell. Anything else you have out there you want to promote? Any tour dates, anything at all whatsoever?
I mean, if you live in Germany, I've got a 25-day tour coming up in January.
In Germany,
February.
Huh?
Yeah, they love him some Queen.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I'm so excited that you came by. I'm really appreciative, too. I know you don't probably normally sing this early in the morning.
Not usually.
And you crushed it. Come on, there he is. Mark Martell. MarcMartell. Follow him on Instagram if you love that performance. Mark, good to see you. And when you get something else, you get a new project, come up and see us, and we'll be happy to put you on.
Honor and pleasure. Thank you.
All right, there he is. Mark Martell, everyone.
This is the Bobby Bones Show.
It's time for the good news.
With Bobby.
Tell me something good.
Remember that kid? We told you about him. He was a fourth grader. He was bullied because he made a homemade University of Tennessee t-shirt.
Yeah.
And all the kids were like, that's not a real Tennessee shirt.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And so then the University of Tennessee designed it, used that same design, made their own shirt. Now the story gets better. Here's your update. They sold over 112,000 of these shirts.
Amazing.
And raised $1 million for Stomp Out Bullying.
Wow. And they look just like the one he designed.
It's the same exact design.
Right.
Hilarious.
They just put it on a...
More than 112,000 t-shirts featuring the boys' hand-drawn design have been sold in 3 months. $1 million for Stomp Out Bullying.
Wow, that's so cool.
All of that's amazing. Whomever made that decision at the University of Tennessee, like, I wish I knew your name because I would shout you out to go, we should do it with this kid. He got picked on. Yeah. That's just, that's great. I love it. That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
The Bobby Bones Show.
So we're sitting here and Eddie yells out, someone stole an airplane at an airport near here. And we're like, you can steal an airplane? And so I hit up Amy and I was like, hey, talk to your husband. Because Amy's husband is a pilot, was in the Air Force, is still a pilot, flies all over the place. And so you have clips of you talking to him, right?
Yeah.
Where I sent Amy questions. Did you ask him the questions?
I did. Well, I just said, hey, can you talk about how? Because when I asked him, he's like, yeah, it's easy to steal a plane. Like, if you know how to fly it. And I was like, so then I started saying, well, what if you don't really know how to fly it and you practice on a simulator, but you've never gone up? And he was like, yes, it's possible. He acted like it's so possible.
I have no idea.
But then he's like, but you don't understand. I don't want to be the guy on record on radio talking about how easy it is, because it really does happen. And it's been scary situations and dangerous ones. And he's just like, I don't want any part in that.
encouraging people to steal planes.
He's so protective of, like, he just didn't want to be any part of that. But guess what? I got the audio. It caused a minor fight. Not a big deal.
I sent Amy these questions. So I wanted to just know, first of all, if it was possible to steal a plane.
Is it possible to steal a plane?
Okay.
So it's possible.
Yes, it's possible. I mean, it's possible to steal anything.
Okay.
You can steal a ship. You can steal a car. You can steal a tractor. You can steal anything.
He's so annoyed with you right now.
I said, can you steal a plane? And he goes, okay. I was like, that's not an answer.
The real story here is that he's so annoyed with Amy to have to do this segment. And I said, hey, Amy, ask him if planes have keys, like ignition keys.
I didn't think planes had keys.
Planes have keys. Some of them have keys.
But some don't.
That's right.
Okay.
He's just not here for this at all. Okay. Do planes have keys to the door? Like, to, you know, open it up.
Just have a key to the door. Like if the door was unlocked.
Some of them are just like your car. They have a key to the door, a key to the ignition.
Okay. So if it's unlocked, you could just get in and fly it away?
No.
Why couldn't you start it up if it doesn't take a key?
Why are you asking me about stealing a plane?
It's a legitimate question.
Yeah, it was in the news.
But to give you the real answer, yes, if some of them don't have a key to the ignition or whatever, but if the door's unlocked, you could hop in and crank that baby up.
And then I say, because the original story was they thought the plane had flown under the radar and wasn't recognized. We'll tell you what happened later with this plane. But they thought, well, they must have stolen and flown it underneath.
Because they had no record of that plane being anywhere. So they're like, shoot, it must have flown under the radar.
Right.
How low do you have to fly to not be seen by radar? Let's say you successfully get in the plane.
It's not like the 60s or 70s. Like, you can't, you can't fly low enough.
You can't.
No.
Some people fly under the radar and not get seen.
No, that's just a saying. It doesn't happen anymore.
What?
You fly under the radar.
But you've done that. You fly under the radar.
No, you don't fly under the radar.
He's loosening up a little bit, though. I feel him starting to come around a little bit with the segment.
Okay.
And then my final question to him was, if you steal a plane, do you take it and sell it for parts? Do you strip it?
Oh, wow.
Because that's what people do with cars.
Yeah.
And so here's the final question Amy asked her husband, who's a pilot.
Can you strip a plane and sell it for parts?
I'm sure you can. I have no idea, though.
But, I mean, there's got to be a black market for plane parts.
I don't know. I've never, I would never research that or look into that, because you want to have, the best parts. Like, you want to know the history of your parts. You're not buying them on the black market.
Oh. Well, I guess some people are.
Well, I don't fly with those people.
People buy organs on the black market.
Well, I mean, desperate times. All I'm saying is, like, I've never looked into that. I want my planes top notch.
Okay.
There you have it. The most Amy's husband's ever been annoyed on the air with us.
Sounds like he's in a corner of a room or something.
Oh, we were in bed. Like, we were literally about to go to sleep, and then I was like, hey, can we record something?
It turns out this plane that was stolen that Eddie told me about was actually moved to a different hangar.
Yeah, for whatever reason, it wasn't put back in the hangar where it belonged. So when they went to that hangar, they're like, well, the plane's missing. Somebody stole it. But then they did a hangar search. And
this is after they got the FBI involved.
This is after the news. Yeah, it wasn't stolen at all.
Right. And like my husband, like even in the article, my husband's like, I know these people because he works at that airport sometimes. And he just was like, oh gosh, this is so funny. But it was in another hangar.
And he was so annoyed with us. There we have it.
Yeah.
Check. Bobby Bones Show.
All right, let me talk to Jordan in South Carolina who's on the phone right now. Hey, Jordan.
Hey, yeah.
You pretty good?
I'm doing great, Bobby. I can't believe I'm talking to you now.
I'm glad you're on. Hey, how old are you?
25.
Okay, so you're calling for some dating advice. Is that right?
Yes, I could really use your and the studio's help.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so a few weeks ago, I live here in South Carolina, but I went back to visit family in East Tennessee for Thanksgiving. And while there, I matched with a girl on Bumble. And I didn't think anything of it. Didn't think that we were going to super, super progress and everything. But so I started talking with her. And we started talking a lot and a lot and a lot. And we eventually both expressed that we were falling in love with each other. And am I crazy to think that, like, well, so I work from home here in South Carolina, so work is not an issue. I can go and work remote from pretty much anywhere. But am I crazy to think that I would want to move back to East Tennessee just to be with her?
Okay, in a word, yeah, right now. I don't think you're crazy to think that eventually it could happen.
So wait, it's been like, what, 2 weeks?
And also it's only been online, really.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Uh-huh. Right, Jordan?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's just been a couple weeks, but like, I've been staying up till like 3 or 4 a.m. talking with her, and like, normally I'm in bed by 9:30 kind of guy.
I get it. No, I get it. Okay, first of all, is that girl Morgan number two? It is not.
Although I do have a crush on Morgan number two, it is not her.
Okay, it's not her. Okay, here's what I would say. I know it's exciting to find somebody that you've matched with on Bumble. I think it's fun to think about how you should probably get back and see her. I think right now going, I can move my job based on just text chat with someone, that's probably jumping really ahead.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it does happen for you. You sound like a great, exciting guy with a lot of personality, but I just think it's probably a little too early. It's a very romantic thing. My therapist talks about how, you know, we release this chemical and it's dopamine just comes flying out of us. And when we have dopamine, because we are just in whatever love phase we're in, we're making completely irrational decisions. Nutty thoughts. You're in that right now. And you're in it based on not even talking to them in person. Here's what I'm going to say. You should stay with this. But I don't think you need to start thinking about moving. I think you need to start strategically planning on seeing each other a couple times. After three times, then maybe you start to go, maybe this could be something where we set a plan to eventually figure out how we're together if we still are together. It's just small steps. Amy, what do you think?
Oh, I agree. And when was your last relationship?
My last relationship was a year ago because I moved earlier this year from North Carolina down here to South Carolina.
Okay, but how long was that relationship?
That relationship was about 2 months.
Okay. I guess I'm just curious how, because if it's exciting and new, like I'm just curious like why he's so like, I have to jump into this so fast. Because if he hasn't had I feel like when you've had a long-term relationship, you realize how long it takes to maybe build something.
Yeah. What's the longest relationship you've ever had?
I would say the longest one I've had is probably about 3 years.
Okay. So he's been on a decent one.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me put you here, Jordan. It's that I like it I really like it. I like that you found someone you're excited about. That's the coolest thing. It's a great feeling. I'm also going to say I've had some really wonderful text relationships with people. It turns out in person, you're just kind of like, meh. It's just not the same.
Oh, meh. Okay.
It's okay. Some are better than others. But my advice to you is you need to just get together 3 or 4 times, have dinner, stay with each other, that kind of thing, before you start going, can I move my life for this person? That's my advice to you. I hope it works out. I think there's a good shot of it. You sound like a very passionate guy. But my advice to you is just pump the brakes. Still in your mind, think it could happen, but just go at a different pace. Before you know you're married, then you're like, oh my God, what did I do? You know?
Yeah.
Morgan, number 2, you're dating right now. What do you think about this?
Yeah, I mean, coming from somebody who falls really quickly and does similar things like this, I've been taught that it is not healthy and you have to slow down so you can make sure you see the bigger picture in the best way possible. So slow down.
And anything worthwhile is worth taking your time with. So that's it. I'm going to leave you there. Jordan, pump the brakes, but keep driving forward, okay?
Hey, Bobby, thank you so much. And I also want to say, like, last year, over a year and a half ago, when I moved to North Carolina, that was the first time I ever, like, heard your show. And when I didn't have, like, any friends or anything over there. And I started listening to your show, and you all became my first friends when I lived there. And then since moving down here to South Carolina, you all are on the radio here, and I just love listening to you all, and thank you for just all the everything that you do.
Well, I appreciate that. And now I need you to go make a good decision and not rush into it with this girl. Okay, Jordan?
Yeah. Hey, thank you so much. I definitely will. Thanks,
all right.
Bobby.
All right, Jordan.
Video.
See you, bud. Get your
Bobby Bones on. Bones, y'all.
Bobby Bones.
Yeah.
All right, Morgan, number 2, has some questions. What's the point of these questions?
They're just so people can get to know you guys a little better.
Okay. Get to know the Bobby Bones show. Morgan, number 2, found random questions. Question number 1.
You just woke up from a 10-year coma. What's the first question you ask?
All right, you've been in a coma for 10 years. What is the first question you ask, Amy?
I guess I ask, did Stevenson and Stashira, my kids, make it to college?
Oh, good question.
Because you're trying to get them in a school right now.
Right. Like, I'm trying to figure out junior high and elementary school right now with them, and I want to know, like, what did they choose? They'd be adults at this point. So what are they doing?
Yeah, your daughter would be 22?
Yeah, and my son would be 19.
Wow, that's crazy. That's crazy to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And time marches on.
Like, have they moved out? Are they on their own? Yeah. Can they function as adults? That's what I would want to know.
Did your husband get a new wife?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. Am I still married?
Who's raising
good
them?
Question.
All are good.
Yeah. What about you?
If I'm coming out of a coma, the first thing that comes to my mind is, have the Arkansas Razorbacks, have they won yet in football?
I'm sure at that
10
point.
10 years, maybe.
Because it's been a while.
Right.
And I could not be any more dedicated. I pulled a coach aside at the gym the other day who coaches for Tennessee State. And I said, hey, and he's the O-line coach over there.
Okay.
I said, hey, Arkansas just hired the O-line coach from Georgia to be the head coach, Pittman. And I was just debriefing him all about the coach. And so I'm like, yeah, that's what I would, like, what's the deal? Let's go. Have we won yet? That's what I would ask. Mm-hmm. Or has the office had a reunion?
Oh, it's funny.
Yeah. What's the next question?
You're leading 1,000 men into battle using only items you can find in a grocery store as a weapon. What do you arm them with?
Oh, I'm easy.
Oh, you know that quick?
Yeah.
What?
Wasp spray.
Oh, you just run into a wasp spray?
Yeah.
The
one that shoots extra far.
Oh, so like not wasp spray then, hornet spray.
Sure.
Oh,
hornet's nest spray.
Hornet's nest spray, because yeah, that's the big long.
Whatever, yeah. Because I arm myself with that at night by my bedside.
I launch hams, the big heavy hams and turkeys.
Oh, big old like rocks.
Like cannonballs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm shooting rubber band. Like, whoa!
You can find that in the fresh deli section.
Mm-hmm. Frozen, think about frozen turkey.
Oh my goodness,
yeah, frozen turkey. About. Not deli, Eddie, like full turkeys.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Full big hams.
That would hurt.
Like those are cannonballs that you can launch from far away.
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah, because I'm not trying to get close enough to spray like Amy is. I'm trying to hide behind a wall and build it and just launch them up.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, next up, Morgan, number 2.
All right, it's the last one. What minor character from a TV series would you love to have their own spinoff show?
Okay, walk through your favorite TV shows, though, because Mine are The Office.
Mine's the Friends.
Friends. Both of us are Friends.
And Rachel was the first person that came to my mind when she asked that question, but I see her as so many different characters, and then Joey did a spinoff, and that did not go well. Who would you choose?
Kevin from The Office.
Okay.
Because he's a minor
he's
character.
He's minor. And yeah. Rachel's
he's the bald
not.
One.
He's the big, the yeah, the fat bald dude.
Yes, got it.
Mm-hmm. My dog is named after Stanley from The Office. But I would go Kevin from The Office.
So there's a girl that's on Mad Men, and she wasn't minor. She ended up being major, but she started as a secretary for one of the guys, and she's the lead girl in Handmaid's Tale now. So it's weird for me. I'm like, is this where she ended up? Like, this sucks. This is where she ended up in life? Because I still see her
as... She was a minor character on Mad Men?
Not. She started off as minor and then built up as main, but she started off as a secretary for one of the ad dudes.
Because the one episode I watched, she was a secretary.
Yeah, and but she builds up to be an ad woman, and she's like a top
Spoiler
player.
Alert.
Oh, sorry.
We're just going to get into it.
But anyway, I still see her as that, and then now I see her in this day and age, or the future-ish, with Handmaid's Tale, and I'm like, oh, man, things did not work out for her.
Which character are you spinning off?
Minor. I need help with minor characters. Rachel or Phoebe doesn't count?
Yeah, sure, yeah. There's no rule. You're not going to lose your scholarship.
I'm going to try to keep Friends alive, and I'm going to go with Rachel.
All right. Any other questions, Morgan number two? Is that it?
No, that's it.
That's a fun game. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Josh in Arkansas, who is on line three right now. Josh, what's happening, man?
Hey, Bobby.
You're on the air, dude. What's going on with you?
Oh, not much. Just driving down the road. I'm a truck driver. Just wanted to say thank you for all that you do for the kids in America, and I'm proud to be a local Arkansan.
Oh, appreciate that, man. Yep. Where are you driving? You do long haul? What are you doing?
Yeah, I do a little bit of everything, but I'm in Ozark, Arkansas right now.
Up there, up high in Arkansas?
Yeah, up northwest Arkansas, yes, sir.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you calling, and thanks for listening to us while you drive, man. I know you could pretty much be listening to anything you want, so I appreciate that you're hanging out with us.
Yeah, you guys keep our wheels turning. We appreciate it very much.
I like that. That's cool. Keep the wheels turning. That's nice. All right, Josh, appreciate that, but have a good day. All right, thank you guys for hanging out with us.
Want to join in on a topic? Yeah. Call the show at 1-877-77-BOBBY.
Come on, y'all. The Bobby Bones Show.
Bobby Bones.
Yeah.
Hey, let me remind you guys that if you check out the BobbyCast, it's a podcast that I do. It's an interview podcast, and recently... Joe Diffie, if you love 90s country like I do, Joe Diffie came by the house and we just talked for basically an hour. And what was cool was he talked about some of his heroes, and Joe Diffie talked about he got to hang out with George Jones, which is one of his idols, and then him and George Jones became friends.
It took me a couple of times before I was able to even converse with him because I was so nervous, and he was just such an icon in my eyes. But I found that later on he was just so... He's just so country, you know. He's like talking to your grandpa. He couldn't hear real good, you know. So you'd say something, and he'd go, what? You know. So then I got him to sing on a song with me, and it was really cool too.
So check it out. Joe Diffie did an episode of the BobbyCast. Just wherever you listen to podcasts, on iHeartRadio or whatever place, it's free. Search BobbyCast and check it out. There's a lot of great ones up there. You can go back and find a Dierks Bentley one or a Chris Stapleton one. A lot of great writers. Ashley Gourley, who has like 500 number ones as a songwriter. You have a little time? Check it out. Appreciate you guys listening to the show today. We will see you on tomorrow's show. Hope you have a great day. I'm on Instagram @MrBobbyBones. Bye, everybody.
Bobby Bones.